This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellas with monkey sounds in there and called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, hey, welcome in. Happy Monday. Danny and Dusty with you. Boy, fall came in a hurry. It feels like officially our 6 months of rain have started, and I'm here for it.
It's officially hoodie season.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Hoodie here, hoodie there. Never changing. Graphic t-shirts over there. Yeah. Popular culture graphic t-shirts. Jeff Russ.
I wore in my Columbia like hoodie jacket. I'm just not wearing it now.
That's right, because you've got an image to uphold. That image is you wear popular culture t-shirts every day.
And I don't need to wear a hoodie in here. I run hot.
And this is the I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday, yeah.
Which, now, he screwed that up.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. There's some controversy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that he screwed it up, but there is controversy over what the actual line should be.
Well, the actual line should be,
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry, because that is somebody who carries your casket, which is what the term was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Val Kilmer delivered the line, I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry. So guess what? Wrong or not, I'm going to die on that hill. I'm going to stick with I'm your Huckleberry.
It's a wonderful line.
Because I like Huckleberries. They're tasty. Nice little Huckleberry pie.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Has any movie in like the last like 30 years given us more one-liners than Tombstone?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you got to think of Superbad, any of the Will Ferrell movies, Anchorman, Talladega Nights. Yeah. I mean, those old school.
Those are just the ones off the top of the head.
Yeah.
How many do you have
I should say non-comedy.
A non-comedy that just gives you
nothing but bangers. I mean, our drop board's probably got 20 lines from Tombstone on it.
It's up there. It's up there. Okay, hey. The script.
Beef bourguignon.
Well, that's not from.
We're all just grist for the mill.
That one is.
That could be. Yeah.
No, it is. 100%.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The script for the movie Tombstone intended the line to be, I'm your Huckleberry, and not, I'm your Huckleberry.
So Val Kilmer did not screw it up.
Yeah.
He said the line as it was scripted.
It was great. To be fair, it's a great line.
It is a great line.
Yeah.
Why Johnny Ringo?
Yeah. I'll be your Huckleberry. It apparently has dual meanings. It can be fitting for a partner for a task, or it can be a slightly mocking term for someone insignificant.
Mm.
Oh, so Doc Holliday will be that person who is mocking him for being insignificant.
Okay, because that was saying, okay. Or is he saying that Doc Holliday himself is insignificant?
He was calling himself insignificant, and he's being like, mocking, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But he'll shoot him.
Yeah. See, I think, look, I think regardless, they both fit. And there's arguments for both.
You could even say even irregardless.
No, that's
no,
not
you
a
cannot.
Word.
Not a word.
Not a word. Now the
not case, a word.
I love that.
And
one.
Also,
grammar police over there.
I wanted to fire him up.
Yeah. And also, in regards to irregardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. In regards to also not an actual phrase.
Okay.
You can say in regard to.
With regards to.
With regard to. Yeah. It's just not in regards to.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was your English lesson for the day.
Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Monday, and we're just all going back to school today.
Would you look at that? Johnny Ringo's an educated man. Now I really hate him.
This is that's a really good question, though, that now I'm going non-comedy movies that have the most one-liners.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I wasn't expecting this. I would have liked to have had some time to do some homework.
I think, can I submit to the court Full Metal Jacket?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
Full
what
metal
is
jacket?
Your major malfunction, Private Pyle?
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
Yeah. Yep. This is for pleasure. This is for fun. But those are like funny lines in a
very
movie that is not being considered a comedy by any
two
stretch.
Tuboku?
I'm not sure I know that one.
No, it's from Alan. But
that is two?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When they're soliciting a lady of the night that he is not Tuboku.
Oh.
Ooh, Pulp Fiction being submitted on the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. I mean, we have I have five of them on my drop board for when Danny tosses the sports center update
to me. What genre is the movie Rounders?
Drama?
Drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a thriller. It's not suspense. It's not action.
Comedy either.
It's not comedy. Drama.
Yeah, yeah. A Few Good Men has that one coming in. Yeah. A Few Good Men.
You want me on that wall? Yeah. You need me on that wall?
Yeah,
yeah.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
Yeah,
yeah. There's some good ones that are in there.
I did that whole monologue in my senior year theater class.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one. One of the better monologues.
Silence of the Lambs.
Hello, Clarice.
Yeah. That alone.
I was going to try to find the drop, but he beat me to it.
Don't.
Are you sure?
No, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
I did it anyway.
Pulp Fiction, and it kind of falls in line with...
that's a solid one.
The Big Lebowski, though.
Be Cool, Honey Bunny. Mm-hmm.
Those movies are both really funny.
Yeah.
But they're not intended to be comedies. I think the Big Lebowski Big Lebowski is like a
I think you can put Tarantino movies in like their own category.
How about we go like dark comedy?
Mm.
Yeah.
And because, like, especially with the Big Lebowski, that's the Coen brothers, yes?
Yes, Coen brothers.
I think they are kind of masters of the dark comedy genre.
Let's see what
I have to submit a movie review real quick though.
Yeah.
Ooh.
My wife and I she loves horror movies. I think the first movie we ever went and saw together.
Did you say horror movies?
Yes.
Horror?
Yes.
Okay. Big Lebowski is considered a comedy.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like The Bear being nominated for comedies.
No, it's not. I don't find anything funny in The Bear.
No, I find that completely anxiety-ridden.
Because if you lived it, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like if you have been in a kitchen, you know that feeling.
Like I didn't work in a kitchen, but I worked just outside of it, adjacent to it.
You see it.
Saw all that stuff.
Yeah. But
maybe that's another genre I need to make is just anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which my wife likes thrillers and horror movies. The first movie we ever went to see together was Hereditary, which is one of the five most terrifying movies.
Remind me of that one.
No.
Who's in that? Is it somebody?
Nobody. I mean, there's one woman you'd know, and I can't remember her name, but her character's, oh my God, terrifying. The little girl gets her head torn off.
Oh.
Off a telephone pole.
Okay. Ooh, Anne Dowd. She is a horrific person from Handmaid's Tale?
Yes.
She's like the worst lady in there.
She plays like that kind of role again as the mother.
I've never seen an episode of that.
You got Toni Collette. You got Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah. I mean, it's like people that you know, but like not like the most prominent actors. But it's an unbelievably terrifying movie. Made my skin crawl.
Yeah. If you can't recognize Anne Dowd, just go look her up and you'll be like, oh, now I get it. She's always a super a-hole.
But we watched... we were going to watch the new Aliens movie. Aliens Romulus. I heard it was really good, and it was pretty damn scary, which I was like, cool. And she's like, well, I saw a preview for this and I want to watch this instead, which means I'm watching this. And I was like, all right, fine. So it's called Strange Darling, and it is the most qualified piece of crap I have ever seen in my entire life. I have never
kind of gives that away.
I have never, ever in my life gotten into a movie and wanted it to be over faster. Like I couldn't even leave because I was in my own house. It was the worst thing I have ever seen. It was horrendous. I was reading the reviews beforehand. I'm like, kind of got myself excited.
Yeah.
Like I was like, it's a thrilling, suspenseful movie that you just won't see coming. And I was like,
you should. You were at home.
Yeah.
Dude, easy way out of that is, I gotta go to the bathroom. You just go in there,
and then you start doom scrolling and starting fights on Twitter.
Yeah. Just start arguing with people on social media.
I would have made her mad. You know, we're spending doing the couple time together.
And like, babe, I'm sorry. I got a wicked case of the bubble guts.
You had to put in the time. But
I know, but that's like that gets you a good 30, 45 minutes out of it.
Right? Exactly.
So we get.
I had to go through three doses of Pepto.
I'm back, though.
We get for you. The movie, and she's like, so what'd you think? I'm like, the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Like, I couldn't believe there was not the people who were writing these reviews, I think they were paid bots.
Oh.
Like, because there was nothing thrilling, there was nothing suspenseful, and the plot was so easy to see through, it was just like, what? It was so pretend. They're reading the reviews, because it wasn't the critic score. I go by the public score. I'm assuming the public people who watched it were all film students trying to outdo each other's pretentiousness in the reviews. And I'm just like,
I hate this movies
was,
like that.
It was an art house, like, screw it, I'm going to spoil it. The very end.
That's fine. I don't think anybody's going to be like, no!
She gets gut shot in the side of in the passenger seat of a truck, and they spend 5 minutes single framing on her, never cutting away as she dies. And the artistic take is it fades from color to black and white as she dies. But they stay on her, I'm not kidding, for 5 minutes. No other, like, it's just the sound of the truck driving and her dying. And I'm like, and that's the movie. There's so many times they linger on things. You know what Tarantino, like, lingers on?
It's realistic.
On.
That's how people really die. Yeah. You know, you got you to actually
to,
watch
you fade to black and white.
If what you don't know is that somebody actually bled out and she died.
Yeah.
That's like, there's, she's method. So she's like, no, actually just shoot me. I want to play this out.
But it was, it made me viscerally angry.
Oh.
Like, that's like, I couldn't wait for it to be over.
Those are annoying.
And I'm like, I'm getting irritated as it's, yeah. I'm like, would you just get to the credits so I can go do can literally anything else? Oh, she was like, I go, what did you think? She's like, there were like three parts that I liked about it. I go, worst movie you've ever seen? She's like, it's up there. And I was like, okay. Like,
yeah. All right. At least she agreed with you.
But she's picked a couple stinkers in a row. So she's cut off for a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. But at least she's acknowledging it.
She put her head down. She's like, I'm sorry. I failed.
My bad.
Yeah. That's so I get to pick the next couple. So,
I was, as somebody who took a lot of media arts classes, I was stuck in some of those
film type movies. Places. Yeah, oh God.
I was not a class favorite, as they'd be like, somebody would recommend a film and then they'd start. I'd be like, oh God. Loud enough for everybody to hear it and just be like, ugh. And then they'd start in afterwards and they'd be like, I love this. I was like, what are you talking about?
Have you ever noticed
it was terrible. What are we reaching for here?
When you ask Hollywood actors, or not you, but like the collective media asks Hollywood actors like their favorite movies of all time, there's always some like movie from like the 70s or 80s. It's never anything like remotely new. And there's always like, oh, you know, I love the original Wizard of Oz or Casablanca. And it's like, and then they throw in like one like movie from the 60s or 70s. It's like some art house niche thing. Like, you never watched that and it wasn't good. Shut up. Why are you pretending? No one cares. Like things that are good.
Yeah. Well, I do like the original Wizard of Oz still. We watched that not too long ago.
Everybody loves
the
original Wizard of Oz.
It was actually, it wasn't that bad. Like, I mean, it's kind of laughable, the special effects, but when you think about, like, oh, I don't know, 100 years ago, they were pulling that off. It was like, whoa, that's actually pretty good, because it's like when my 10-year-old is like, that doesn't look real. I'm like, basically, they're working with, like, you. Yeah. Like, you should be, could you do anything better? Because that's the technological
know-how
availability
they had.
Like, this is pretty good.
You guys want to hear a wild one?
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, I was a drama kid. I was a drama nerd. The first play I did, it was The Wizard of Oz. And our high school director was known for going way over the top and stuff, and he did. And we had, like, big budgets. Like, we had, like, $20,000 for, like, a spring musical, like, budget. And so for the first screening, for the first actual night of the play, we had one of the original Munchkins in attendance at our play.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So that was part of the budget, was to bring in one
I don't know about
Munchkins?
That. I'm just saying, but yeah. But we had, so this was 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that movie was made in 37, 38.
So one of the Lollipop Guild saw you.
Yeah. I was a Munchkin as well.
Were you?
I was a Munchkin.
Wow.
I had to pay my dues.
Did they get mad at you for appropriating their culture?
Oh, no, we had a lot of us as high school kids as Munchkins. And but we also had a slew of like 20 like kindergartners and first graders also coming in and playing Munchkins.
And you were comparable in height?
Well, we know each other, don't we, Mr. Shortman?
Wow. Wow.
It's just just a question that I had to ask. Like,
just, you know,
you were just out there with
they hide us behind, you know, bricks and other podiums and such.
We got a couple of other good ones before we roll on here. Non-comedies that are probably the most quotable in our lexicon. This started with Tombstone and Jeff Russ T-shirt of the day. I'm your Huckleberry. Shawshank Redemption, that's a good one.
Yeah, that
Shawshank is a good one.
I think if you have somebody who has an insane voice, Morgan Freeman, Sam Elliott, mm-hmm. like those lines are just going to resonate in your
Field
head.
Field of Dreams can be put in there too. Like Field
James
of
Earl Jones, yep.
And then Point
if you
Break.
Build it, they will come.
I mean, Point Break, you have that Keanu Reeves.
I am an FBI agent.
Back off, war child. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them there. Yeah.
I am an FBI agent.
That was really loud.
That's like, one of the hot ones in here for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Oh, Star Wars as well.
Oh yeah, but also one of the most misquoted.
Oh yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And not Star Wars, but Empire Strikes Back.
Isn't it qualified as like a space opera?
Oh come on.
I think it is.
See. Now, that is exactly what I'm talking about with what are we doing
here? Yeah, and that's not an actual genre.
What are we doing?
Yes, it is. The Star Wars film is a well-known example of the space opera genre.
No, it is
straight out of Encyclopedia Britannica. Brother.
I couldn't give two S's about what Encyclopedia Britannica says.
Golly.
Okay, you could go with like a sci-fi fantasy, sure, but no. Space
it's a
opera.
Fart sniffer genre right
there. I'm going to guess they have about five movies they include in that genre.
Well, there's at least six.
Yeah, at least six now. Bunch of spinoffs too.
Gotta
like series and whatnot. Yeah. All right. Well, we're off and rolling.
Yeah.
It's been a start.
It's Monday, baby.
It has been a start. We got a lot of football we got to get to. And we got a lot of basketball to get to too. Blazers. But they came out, laid an egg out the gate, but they gave us two back-to-back.
Schneidless now.
You know, it is.
I was looking for a good quarter dozen eggs.
They were competitive and competent
mm-hmm.
in their last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to see. Maybe not the results. Well, one of the results.
Yeah.
But they're going to win some games.
Sure.
Come on, what are we doing here? So we got to talk the hometown team as well, and we will. We got to start within the NFL, though. A wild weekend and a lot of NFL this Monday. And where it's got to start is prayers answered in D.C. and questions arising in Chicago. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
So can I have a milkshake or something?
Bucks down for one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. All the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness! This town is going crazy!
Jim Nantz on the call as Jaden Daniels finds Noah Brown in the end zone. A Hail Mary. Giving the number two pick the win over the number one pick in this past year, spring's NFL draft. 18-15, the Commanders beat the Chicago Bears. And a great call by Nantz, but can I just say a little tip of the cap, Tony Romo for laying out on that and not saying anything?
Yeah. Finally.
Because
just letting it happen.
Yeah, Romo used to be the, I don't know. He just laid out, let Nantz say the entire thing because that is a really tough thing to do for a broadcaster because I don't know about you guys, but when I saw that play, I just yelled.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, oh, or whoa. Everybody that I was watching the game with, everybody said something in the moment. It's a tough thing not to say anything at all. Yeah. And Romo just kind of laid out and let Nantz make the call.
Do you want perfect examples of that? We'll pull up the radio calls from either side later on.
Yeah,
later
We do have those because those it's an emotional time.
Yeah, I mean you got what they took over the on offense with 23 seconds to go.
Yep.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
Because remember the Bears go down and score. Williams, you know, a couple big chunk plays gets the Bears right down in it. It was super interesting because both quarterbacks make plays in the final minute. After really both of them struggling all game. And it was just...
Well, I think it, more so Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Yes. And look, Jaden Daniels, nobody...
Nobody's mentioning that he's playing with his ribs. Yeah.
Like, that was the crazy thing about with Jaden Daniels is his effectiveness, especially throughout the entirety of the game, with his ribs that had him questionable. The shot worked.
Yeah.
And
because he was literally a last second thing.
Yeah. He ended up playing, not just playing, but playing effectively and winning a football game for him.
No, I thought both defenses were even better than I thought they'd end up being in that game. Commanders especially. I don't know what the Bears were doing in the first half of that game. I didn't really get what they were trying to build on, but I guess you tip your cap to the Commanders.
Well, yeah, you do.
Because
they've been doing that to a lot of teams this year. I mean, they've been playing well enough to win. Look, the Commanders are, nobody should believe them as a Super Bowl contender because they aren't.
But they're a good little team.
There were plenty of opportunities for Chicago to win that game. And I think that's coming out of this. This is the biggest question mark moving forward with Chicago is, look, that win, Washington earned that win.
Yes.
It was not a fluke in Hail Mary lost on a 50-50 ball. The fact that the Bears squandered away so many opportunities to slam the door shut
and just couldn't
on Washington and didn't do it, that is what won Washington the game. And they earned because they took up the opportunities that were given to them. They took advantage of them. Chicago turning the ball over and fumbling on the 1 yard line going in to score by handing the ball off to your backup center as your power back, which I don't have as big of a problem with that.
And it was like, whatever.
If it worked, the result is exactly why people have issue with it and are criticizing Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus about it. But it was wedge blocking. You're on the 1 yard line. You probably got a guy that squats like 500 pounds carrying the ball. And you just say, just get the ball, push it into the end zone. Everybody in that Bears locker room had said, no, we rep that all the time. This wasn't just something that was like on a whim. Hey, now we're going to do it. It is something that they practice. They have practiced and they probably will continue to practice for weeks. That fumble, that hurt because Chicago could have slammed the door shut.
Right then.
No opportunity to do it. Right. And take a lead, but you would have given the ball back to Washington with plenty of time to go down the field. What ended up happening was Washington had to punt. Chicago got good field position. They scored 23 seconds to go after almost leaving that door wide open for Washington to hold on to their lead. Chicago found a way to take the lead back, right? But what happened after that, that is where I will go, that's coaching malpractice. That is where Matt Eberflus needs to have this one pinned on him. He's a defensive-minded head coach. There's 23 seconds, one timeout, and they allow a throw over the middle to Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. Take away the middle when the team has a timeout. You have to defend them straight up. Okay, Ertz gets an 11-yard catch, and then they have no timeouts. You know that. Everybody knows that. They need to get yardage
everything
to get to the point where Jaden Daniels can make a heave to the end zone, and you play soft and you allow a 12-yard out as easy as could be for Terry McLaurin, who catches ball on the sideline and puts him in the position to get that. After that happens, so they got two uh-ohs, okay? Then you rush three with a spy. Jaden Daniels isn't going to tuck the ball and run 52 yards for the final play. You don't need a spy. No. Right?
Either send him or drop him in coverage. Pick one.
You're sending three with a spy, so you're really only sending three, and you have five guys to block up front. You got one corner in Tyreek Stevenson who's talking smack to the fans as the play is going on.
They put a clock on him. It was 4 seconds after the ball was snapped before he gets over.
And think of that. Because they rushed only three, bailed him out too because Jaden Daniels, if they rush more, probably has to throw the ball
sooner.
And that guy's turned around looking out of position. They ran three up that side. And I don't know, but what ended up happening was Jaden Daniels ran the longest play since Next Gen Stats has been recording since 2016. Okay. So we're 8 years. He ran a play where 17 seconds in real time elapsed. He held onto the ball for 12.79.
It's insane.
Threw the ball in the air. He scrambled 40.7 yards on that play.
Good God.
Because you're rushing three.
Yeah.
And the offensive line for Washington, amazing job by those guys. Because
they kept shifting and knocking guys off their path and just doing enough for Jaden to be able to walk in. And look, God, him and Penix, man, they throw some of the prettiest deep balls I've ever seen.
That was an incredible play, man. It was an incredible play. And then 29, who was talking smack, Stevenson, talking smack to the fans, goes
up,
tries to knock it down, but ball bounces off his hand. Noah Brown, touchdown. Unbelievable play.
We were watching it in press row during the game yesterday, and the collective, oh my God. I turned, I picked the Bears -3 as one of my picks. So and I took back the Eric Gunderson was sitting behind me. I'm like, Bears are going to cover. All right, 23 seconds to go. Not a pretty one, but it's kissing cousin. I'll take it. It's fine. And then that happened. I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
So Stevenson here, exactly how good is he? And is he in danger of being cut this week after doing that dumb stuff?
He's in the game and in that situation. He's obviously valuable enough for them to keep around. But you want to talk about a short leash. I don't know if it gets much
because that's literally one of the dumbest things that you can do.
It's up there. He is now. It's I think Schefter had it. It apologized to his teammates this morning. So.
Well, he did like an apology in front of the camera too. Yeah. Went to social media immediately. Like there was so much dumb from the Bears. Like Eberflus had to have been on a short leash entering the season.
Yeah,
we all knew that. You hire Shane Waldron. Well, these are the Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. Good luck with that.
Yes.
That we heard during the combine or Super Bowl media, radio row, where he was like, no comment. Good luck with that.
The Bears feel like on offense and defense that they have the talent, but it's like if you put the gears in the proper spots, they would be significantly better than they are. They run. But they're not optimized. Does that make sense?
They would be, I don't know, like the Commanders.
Mm.
Which, from a talent standpoint, a raw talent standpoint...
The Bears are probably ahead.
The Bears are ahead. Yeah. They are. But, I mean, I don't think it is
particularly
arguable...
Particularly the defensive side of the ball.
In weapon-wise, offensively. I mean, they are. They are ahead.
Because they just have, really, McLaurin and Robinson.
Yeah. And
as the standouts,
you have got actual weapons around Caleb Williams. You went out and you got a Roma Dunze, who actually we saw some Roma Dunze. Yep. That was good to see.
Yeah.
And the Bears put money in.
And DeAndre Swift is being a dude, continued dude.
And so when you have a coach stand up and say things like this after the game.
Because you're defending touchdown, right? You're defending touchdown there, and them throwing a ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter. It's always going to come down to that last play. And it came down to a two-second play to the last play, and we got to execute on that one.
No. The 12-yard gain.
12-yard, yeah.
Think of where Jaden Daniels didn't even get the ball to the end zone. Mm-hmm. On the throw that won the game.
He threw it like 65 yards in the air and it landed like, 3 yards short?
Yeah. Where it got tipped was like on the 3 or 2 yard line. It's like, no, those 12 yards are really damn important.
Because there's a 0% chance it gets near the end zone if you don't give up 12.
The other thing that made me chuckle out of this, a tale of two radio calls.
Ooh.
First, I give you the Washington Commanders Hail Mary call.
Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up. Fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
Walk-off touchdown!
WBIG FM on the call, Bram Weinstein. That, again, Romo, not saying a word. That is what everybody was kind of feeling. And I bet you Romo just had his mic off and was yelling just like he was.
Yeah.
You couldn't understand what happened, but that's the beauty of kind of radio calls like that, is that we all know what happened.
When the ball's in the air and how long the ball is. He lets it go.
It was in the air for 4 seconds.
It's like, it's just silent for that 4 seconds. And you're just like, because you just feel like the distance that the ball is traveling. Yeah. And it's I love that stuff.
The Bears. Oof. Sad.
To the left, McLaren. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches. Deep pass into the area of the end zone.
Caught it.
And it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish. The breakup pass into the waiting arms of Noah Brown. Nobody back there. Crushing loss. 18-15 Washington. Hail Mary. 2 seconds left. Or as they like to say here, Hail Washington. That is the gut punch of gut punches.
Yeah, that sucks. ESPN 100.
Gut pinch.
Yeah. Well, I love how they're...
That is the gut punch of gut punches.
Yeah, gut pinch of gut punches, huh? What is a gut pinch?
Somewhere between a pinch and a punch?
Look, you talk for a living, you're bound to mispronounce something.
I know, it's great.
None of us know how that goes.
Yeah, I know.
It's awful to be like, oh, man... I like how we rolled with it, though. Yeah. That's the gut pinch of gut punches.
Hell, Mary, hell, yes!
I love how their color guy, he was like, and then I guarantee you their producer was like, cutting his mic, and we know what's going to be coming out of his mouth next, and I don't want to get fired because of it.
Yeah, either that or the play-by-play guy gave him a nice sharp elbow right in his ribs.
Yeah.
Did you see the Commander social team video that came out of it? Like it was either Commander social or NFL social, but they had like the Steadicam rushing the field in all of the pandemonium, like as soon as the play ends. It was like a college atmosphere, and it was just subtle, but it was really cool because like it's just sprinting from the sideline into the mess.
That's sweet.
That is the end zone. I was like, oh, this is cool. It very much feels like a field storming in college football.
That would have been like if like Blazer social would have gotten in the dog pile after Dame hit his shot, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like if
getting,
they
like,
would have
the,
just
the freeze frame,
yeah,
like,
they would have
like
just gone in there with it. Yeah, that was awesome. That game really does highlight, though, in the NFL, what coaching matters. I think both those quarterbacks are going to be really good for a really long time. Caleb Williams did not play well. That first half was...
He was atrocious in the first half.
Really stinking bad. Really, really, really bad. But I think that also goes to coaching, right? And Dan Quinn, Colin Cowherd may not like him because he wears his hat backwards on the sideline, right? He is a guy that it appears he has learned... From the shortcomings that he had as a head coach before, which he is not getting in the way of Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury in that offense, he's just saying, hey, you go, you do you, you let it rip, and I'm going to do me, and I'm not going to care or think about what any other person thinks of me, my staff, or what we're doing out here. We're just going to go play ball. And they looked more confident. They looked more prepared. And they look like the better team. And that was a situation where you go,
which
the
is
Bears,
such a weird thing to say about the Commanders.
Well, the Bears, because of talent, they were going to win that game.
Yeah.
But their coaching let them down. Their coaching got them in the position where they end up losing on a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, coaching matters still.
Yes. I mean, in the NFL, more than any other sport. But, we've talked about this NFC North and the Bears are being the team that's going to bring up the rear. And I still think they're going to be like a 9-8 team.
Yeah.
I think they're going to finish the season.
It's really damn good.
They're a good team. But I think they are the single biggest candidate outside of maybe the Eagles for coach could solve a lot of problems, and they could be very, very good very fast.
No doubt about it. All right, some of your feedback on this, and then we'll shift gears to the Blazers when Danny and Dusty, here's Rust. All right, the Vancouver Ford text line, not kind to the Bears. That was a Chicago version of a swinge. That text coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
That was a S-W-I-N-J for sure.
Yeah, you think you've got it, and then you get to the very end, and you got a J and not a G.
Yep. I'm a Bears fan. It might have been a great day for Ben Johnson. Oh, Ben Johnson. They're going to back up the Brinks truck and try to get Ben Johnson.
In division?
Yeah.
Oof.
I don't know if Ben Johnson wants that, because then I think at that point, Dan Campbell hates you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want Dan Campbell to hate
you. Then
he
might unleash the fury.
Yeah, I don't know if you want that. I don't know if you want that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pretty tough.
Oh, boy. Here's an interesting one. You know, if that defensive back, Tyreek Stevenson, if he is still talking with the trash to the fans, do the Bears maybe win that game? Like, somebody else is in position and they knock it down?
Instead of being knocked up?
The old butterfly effect of, like, because there's this still shot of, like 20 Bears fans pointing at him to look at the play going on behind him. Like, if maybe you go hot tub time machine and then he goes back and nothing happens, like, they go, hey, we're not going to, hey, put your hands down. Just let this play out.
And then he just ends up being a, like, oh, look at this dummy. Lucky they ended up winning.
Yeah.
Let's, hang on. Let me go Lugal this.
Yeah.
God, that was great.
Yeah. I mean, what if that happened? That'd be great. That'd be great. All right, we're putting that one to bed. Bears, they're in trouble as long as Matt Eberflus is the coach, which I think is not going to be much longer. All right, I don't think it'll be much longer.
It's kind of crazy. Like, you might, I don't think it'll be an in-season firing unless things go sideways. But the team that is going to show market improvement and be on the right track, and the head coach is going to get fired because it's so janky.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got a lot of football that we need to get to. We also got to get to the Blazers in their win. We got to carve out enough time
much
for that.
Ball, such what so much wow.
Yeah, let's get into a little bit of college football though. Coming up in our next two seggies here, because
there's a lot of that.
Top of the hour, the Oregon Ducks continue to look like the number one team in the country, and the Oregon State Beavers did not at Cal. This is a really tough spot when you are Oregon State and kind of what they're going through at this point. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. The Oregon State Beavers went down to Berkeley and they got hammered, my man. 44-7 the final. It was 44-0 before the Beavs got on the board. And this is kind of the nightmare scenario for Oregon State fans. It's kind of played out with, you know, we talk about this all the time, about the top-level teams in college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones can withstand the war of attrition are going to be the ones that are standing at the end of the year? Well, it also happens when you have a roster, when your head coach leaves, and, you know, Oregon State and, well, both Washington State put into a position where your roster gets raided, your conference is in flux, so it's not as easy to replenish through the portal as it is in some other places. I thought both of those schools did a really good job of being aggressive and making the best roster that they could. That war of attrition you're starting, or you are seeing at Oregon State, and you have for the last handful of weeks, the injuries, the depth issues that do arise when you get to this point in the season, they're killing Oregon State.
Yeah, and those margins were paper thin, razor thin, whatever you want, whatever euphemism you want to go with. And they start picking up knocks along the offensive line. They start picking up knocks in the running back room. They start picking up knocks, and you're just going, okay, when's the dam going to break? And, well, it's been the last 2 weeks. And look,
both trenches.
Yeah.
Both trenches just
wiped out.
Wiped out.
And, I mean, you can take a look at the very top of college football in Ohio State. They lose their left tackle against Oregon, and now they can't run the ball against Nebraska.
Yep.
So what do you think it means when Oregon State is losing guys on their offensive line?
And that was the question heading in for, you know, I've been saying this about Ohio State. They got the best roster in college football except for depth on the offensive line. Their front line, their five starters are really good.
Yeah.
But when you start getting guys dinged, even Ohio State is not impervious to injuries on your offensive line. You look at Oregon State, offensive and defensive line, you take those knocks, the depth falls apart, and it leads to a game where the Bees were outgained 482 to 200.
Yeah, they got more than doubled up. And, I mean, the thing that more, even more than the yards, I guess the yards is kind of the telling stat coming out of this, is Oregon State had one third down conversion the entire game.
They 3 for 5 on fourth. But over half – I thought the bigger one, not just you got 200 yards, over half their yards came on five plays.
Yeah. They just couldn't string anything together.
Five plays. Yeah. Accounted for over half of Oregon State's yards.
And that's fine if you're getting like 570-yard plays.
They're not.
And they're like big back-breaking scoring plays. You know, God, what was the game this weekend? Lions. The Lions had like 200, no, it was 100 yards of total offense at halftime.
The more incredible part about that Lions game, mm-hmm. when you go that one, it was 52-14. Mm-hmm. 35 of their points, they only needed 83 yards of offense.
That's kind of what I mean. Like
83 yards of offense.
If you're getting like pick sixes or something like, or like big back breaking yep. plays, like
they had a 90-yard yeah. punt return for a touchdown, an interception return to the mm-hmm. 23, an interception return to the 12. You had a 64-yard punt return that gave you the ball on the 22-yard line, a fumble recovery that gave you the ball on the 26-yard line.
So if those plays are leading to scoring plays immediately,
yeah,
it's fine. You're like.
225 yards of total offense. Yeah. Their punt returner, Khalif Raymond,
had more.
Had 190 yards in punt return yards for Detroit, yeah. and their offense had 225.
Had himself a Devin Hester sort of day.
If that is happening, you're going to be okay.
But that's not what was happening for Oregon State. Also,
this is a perfect time for a bye week, and both the Cougs and the Beavs have that bye week this week.
Got to give Cal a little bit of credit, too, because Cal, like, they're not a wagon, but they're a good team.
No. Cal is
good. They're a good team.
Cal lost four straight games by one score. Yeah. Like they're not a bad team by any stretch, but they had just been on the wrong end of it time and time again, and they got right in a big way against Oregon State. Good time for a bye week, B fans.
Total aside here, are you surprised by how unproductive Jaden Nott has been? Like, he was like one of the best running backs in the country.
He got hurt early.
And he's just not been a shell of himself.
Yeah. Yeah. But you didn't need to be on Saturday. Yeah. I mean, Fernando Mendoza.
Oh, God. Such a great name.
It's a fun name to say.
That dude is going to be a legend in Berkeley forever. And not even like in the sense of like, oh, he won a Rose Bowl. He's just going to pile up numbers
mm-hmm.
there and end up being a dude. He needs a signature win. Had they gotten the game against Miami, he could maybe be like Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
And never have to buy a drink in that town again.
Well, unlike Nashville, where, I mean, they may not care about Vanderbilt, but they care about football in Nashville. Yeah. They don't care about football in Berkeley.
No. Maybe Mendoza's got some sort of like political leanings that might help him later in life. I'm like, huh? I'm a Cal quarterback.
Yeah, dude, he'll run for office. Yeah. That's for sure.
See?
All right.
He'll beat Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Pac-12's got a team ranked, though.
Mm.
How about them Cougs?
Hey.
Did you watch any of that game at all? It's okay if you didn't.
I watched the box score ticker.
Boy. Mm. What is going on at Snapdragon Field?
Mm.
Or Snapdragon Stadium?
Great, great, great name for a stadium.
Yeah.
What is a Snapdragon?
Snapdragon is, I think, they're like a web developer?
I believe you're right.
I guess that makes sense. It's...
San Diego
these days.
San Diego is quite possibly could be like the easiest place to grow grass in America.
Mm.
They were playing on a beach, dude. Mm. Like every time somebody would move, it was just like
sand kicking up.
Yeah, it
Do
looked
they
like
get
something
moisture to be able to really grow grass though.
Yeah, use a damn sprinkler. I don't know. Like it's not like you're in a climate that is not conducive to growing grass.
Mm.
Like my goodness, that was ridiculous what we saw. It was like all dead everywhere. Come on, get out there with the hose, guys. Jeez, look like little Kelly Field out in Banks, man, where we got like just pile sand on it. It's gonna turn to mud. No, God, that was gross to watch. Anyways,
you remember, you can
Cougs are ranked.
You can major in surfing down there, so makes sense.
Yeah, bro. This is sick. Shred that gnar, bro. All right, let's get to the number one Oregon Ducks. Absolutely rolled Illinois Saturday. This team, every time there's an answer or a question, they seem to find an answer. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.